Thank you for your scripture reading, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with us this Sabbath morning. And it is a privilege for me to be with you. I listened to your praise time, and there are many things that we have said, and we must feel within our hearts and in our minds that He's able.
Amen.
He's able. And we must also feel that in these last days that many things are happening before our very eyes that we thought would not happen. And this is one of the reasons why I chose this opening song, because Earth is going through a tremendous time. He says, the songwriter says, and I believe when he was penning this hymn, he says, "Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come." Life for many of us has changed. Many of us has changed life. "Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home." I made reference to the two groups this morning who are, tents are their home. Some of them are just the trees. They are moving from a life of, prosperity, they might have said before they went on their journey. But it's no longer that. The songwriter said, "Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song." Sister White says to us that life is going to be a battle and a march. And for me, I think we are in those last days when we will confront many things, and we must settle in our hearts and in our minds that Jesus is going to be the leader. Without Him, we are nothing. With Him, we are everything. And was said already that we are more than conquerors. Why? Because Jesus is a conqueror. He has defeated the evil foe in His mortal flesh. And He will do it again in His immortality. So with that in mind, let us bow our heads as we ask His presence. O righteous eternal Father, we thank You for this another Sabbath day. We thank You for the privilege, the honor, the awesomeness that we can call You Abba Father. We pray, O Lord, that You will join us today through the presence of Your Holy Spirit as we give You honor and glory, because You deserve it. You are worthy. Bless this group here today, Lord, as we listen to the message that You have want to be conveyed to each one through me. We ask, Lord, that You will purify and cleanse, so that Your words, as they go forth, they will go forth with power and with clarity. Thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. In Your precious and worthy name we ask. Amen. I strongly believe that the reaping time is ripe for the harvesting of souls. I strongly believe that. The prophet Isaiah reminds us this morning that we need to give serious consideration to the time that we are living in. That scripture reading was ably read, but I would like to go back to it, Isaiah 40, and look at verse 9 and 10. I'll just read those for emphasis. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says in 9, he says, "O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So that's a reminder for each of us this morning that Jesus does not want us to be quiet, especially at this time. He wants each of us to share the glad tidings. I believe that if the prophet Isaiah was here this morning, he would be saying to Milwaukee, all of us who live in Milwaukee, church family, I know you don't have high mountains like Jerusalem. I know that your voices may not be strong as ancient Israel. And I know that you may not be as brave as the people back then. But we have a work to do as his followers. I get it. We are not as strong. We are not on high mountains. But we have a voice. Thank God for that. We have a voice. And in addition to the voice, we have a message, right? We have a message to share. And when we share the message, we become stronger in the sight of God. And those who we help, we can say, God, we love you because you have transformed the life of such a one. Jesus loves each of us as we share our message with those who we come in contact with. He says, this is a time when we should not be whispering or hiding the good news of salvation. But Isaiah declares we should lift up our voices as a trumpet and with strength. Be not afraid, because he who says he will come, and he will not tarry. I think what is on each of us horizon is that little cloud that the prophet saw, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger at that second coming of Jesus Christ. I think all of us are looking forward to that great day. Or else we wouldn't be here today. We could be at baseball, or we could be at some other engagement that we thought would be better than being here. But the Spirit has led us here. Because we have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Right? We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So that's why we are here. And yes, we talk about the gray area. There's no gray area. You're either with Christ or you against him. So that's the time, that's the journey we are heading, are going to. The prophet assures us that the Lord will come with a strong hand. Yes, my friends, he will come with a strong hand. Why do you think he will come with a strong hand? Because he loves us so much. He does not want any of us to perish. So he has given to each of us solemn warning that he is coming. He will not tarry. He will come to take his people away. And he's not coming as a babe anymore. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not coming with the potential of being defeated. He's coming triumphantly because he has defeated the evil one. And with that, if we cling to him, we know we too will be victorious. There's no doubt about it. So he will come. This is the message that must be proclaimed. Maybe not the way Isaiah would have proclaimed it. Maybe not the way the pastor proclaimed it. But in your way. Because you are connected to Jesus Christ. You love him and he loves you. And you want the person across the fence to also get to know him, right? So you want to share the good news of salvation with that person. Paul says in Romans 13, 11 through 14, if you go there with me. Romans 13. Okay, pick that up. Romans 13:11 down to 14, and I read, and do this, knowing the time. Let me back up to verse 11. Love does not harm, does no harm to the neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Paul said that back in his days, long ago, and Jesus has not yet come. But one thing we are certain of, our salvation is nearer than when we first accepted Christ, right? So that means we are making progress, okay? Then he goes down and in verse 12 he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. My friends, if you look around us today, it is time for us to get up and put off all darkness from our life and put on the armor of light. Jesus is speaking to each of us today because we have a message and we are supposed to be Jesus' messenger. In verse 13 he says, let us walk properly. As in the day, not in rivalry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. This is the time I feel that each of us, knowing Christ, should keep our focus, our eyes on him. As a little song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and everything else around us will go strangely dim in the light of his power and grace. And I think that is needed in each of us life today, because There's no alternative. The alternative we have is total destruction. And I'm sure that each of us would like to be in what was described this morning in our quarterly and what was described by in the second coming of Christ about the purification of the earth and what will there the new Jerusalem. All of those things are exciting in comparison to total destruction. And each of us, by the grace of God, can hold with total conviction that yes, I can be a part of that. Why? Because Jesus has paid the price and paved the way for you and for me, so that when that great day comes and Jesus' second return, we'll be able to go home to live with him. That is very important. What Paul is saying, and we all can see it before our very eyes, that the present conditions of the world today, we cannot afford to be sleeping. We have to be vigilant. The time is urgent that we awake out of our sleep. Whatever else that occupies our thoughts and our minds or engage our attention, we have to break away and give that focus, our attention, to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Without him, we are nothing. With him, we are everything. So we need to blow our trumpet. We need to let the good news of salvation be heard. Yeah. We don't have the mountains like Paul mentioned in Jerusalem. But we can speak across the fence. We can whisper a prayer on behalf of someone who impress upon your heart. Like those folks this morning, you know, when I see those little children on the television who are taken away from their parents and loved ones, and when I see the journey of some of our church family from Venezuela traveling to escape the wrath of a man who wants to make life difficult for them, then you have to call out to Jesus for mercy and for grace. And we can help to do it through our prayers. He listened to our sincere prayers. Paul saw that. So this is no time to sleep, and this is no time to stay in our comfort zone. We have to make the message of salvation be known to those who we come in contact. Why should we put on the armor of light or the armor of God now? Paul says in Romans, in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Let's go there. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Have it? And this is the reason why we have to put on the armor of God. It reads, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." By just reading that, flesh and blood to me means somebody like me, right? Okay. "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." These powers, you and I, we are not able to observe them with our naked eyes. But they are around us. They are powers of darkness. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." When we put on the armor of God, there is no way he can touch us. Let's go back to Jesus' experience in the wilderness after 40 days of hunger and thirst. And this evil one approached him and said he will give him everything if he climbed the highest peak. No, if he bowed down to him. What did Jesus say to Satan as a getting back to him? He said, "It is written." You and I have the access to those words. "It is written" when we put our complete trust in Jesus Christ. Satan cannot be our overcomer. He tried that three times with him, and Jesus gave him the answer three times. "It is written." In other words, what Jesus was doing in the flesh, he was depending on his heavenly Father. "It is written. My Father says so. I trust in him. I'm able to defeat you. And I am going to defeat you. We too can say, Jesus shed his precious blood at Calvary. It covers me and I am victorious. There's no way you can touch me. It is written. And that is Jesus' story to you and I, our defender. And he's able to defend us from all harms and all danger. So, we have a work to do, my friends. And we are in the last period of earth history. Is this a good description of our day? We are reliving in the period of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't know how many of us believe that, but I do. It is the very reason why Sodom was destroyed. It is only his grace and mercy holding back his wrath. You remember in Revelation, he told the angel to hold back the winds of strife. Why is he telling us that? Is because he loves us so much and he wants all of us to be saved. So he wants us to be sealed by his love. By his precious blood that he shed at Calvary. And many of us are not yet sealed. So he told the angels, hold back the wind of strife until my people are sealed. That is mercy and that is love. But it's not going to last forever, my friends. There's going to come a time when probation closes. It might not in his second coming, but it can be today, tomorrow for some of us. And then it will be too late. But he says we are living similarly to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if I stretch my memory back into scripture, when Jesus was going to destroy Sodom and Abraham approached him, he said to Abraham, said, hold on, God, be merciful. You're going to destroy this country with so many righteous people in it. And because God knew there was not many. He said, Abraham started from 50 all the way down. And he said, if you can find 10, or maybe even less than that, righteous people in Sodom at that time, he would save the entire city. Brethren, he couldn't. He could not. And that is a serious case. Maybe many were in the gray area. But the gray area doesn't count, my friends. The 1 foot in and the 1 foot out doesn't count. You're all in or you're all out. And Jesus, our God, could not find 5 or 10 righteous people in Sodom at the time. So he had to destroy because he loved the sinner, but he hates sin. He could not. As we are living in the days that prophecy has described, you know, probably we just finished the quarterly and we talked about the 1260 days. That's already gone. That's history. That prophecy timeline is closed. So we are really living in the days of some evangelists call it the toenail. The toenail, the iron and the clay is gone. We are living in the toenail. That means we are in emergency, put it that way. And he's saying to us that at this time we are only on his mercy, only on his grace that keeps us. As he told the angel, hold back the winds of strife. And we are in that period now. We are in the last period of the last one of the seven churches, Laodicea. That's the last period left, and we are it. So Jesus can come anytime. The question is, my friends, are you ready? Am I ready? That's the big question. And the am I ready does not mean we are in the gray area. Today we are with Christ and tomorrow we are not with him. It means that we must be with him 100%. Totally. There's no gray area. There's no sitting on the fence. That's what Jesus called Laodicea. He said he prefers you to be hot or cold. Because when you are lukewarm, that's the gray area, the lukewarm. He doesn't know what to do with you. He will spew you out of his mouth. And we are all in there, young, old. And that's why the servant of the Lord referred to this period as we are in a battle on a march, because it is. I listened to the praise time and some people with their personal concern about life. But I want you to realize and know that you are not alone. These things will have to take place because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in high places. And you and I cannot contend with. So we must put on the armor of light. And that is Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a saying, it's easier to be saved than to be lost. But people find it so difficult to be saved. You think about it. If Jesus did everything for you, all you have to do is to trust in him and depend on him. He will do everything else for you. And these are not light words. But we have the counter of the evil power, the principalities and powers in high places to contend with. And there's no way little you and little me can contend with that. We have to put ourselves in the hands of Jesus Christ. And once you trust in him, once you lean on him, once you put on that armor of light, you will become a conqueror. Not through me or through you, but through Jesus Christ. Because he is the conqueror. A famous writer by his name is Edgar Douglas in the book Red Alert describes the frequency of activities when interpreted in the light of Bible prophecy. Prophetic happenings are moving rapidly as we speak. In other words, things that have been prophesied are moving rapidly as we speak. I heard just this morning, I was listening. I do listen to the news in the morning, although it's Sabbath. I do listen. I have to confess. Some people don't turn on their radio or anything, but I do. Because I want to know what's happening around me, right? I do. And one person was saying, each year seems to be moving faster than the year that has passed. And all of us can acknowledge that. And this is what the writer here is saying that, let me pick that up back. Douglas is saying that in his book, Red Alert, and you know where when red means danger, right? Right? He's saying, the frequency of activities when interpreted in the light of Bible prophecy, prophetic happenings are moving rapidly as we speak. So time is running out. It's running out on you and I. And we have to do, the choice is ours. We have to do something about it. We cannot stay in the gray area. We have to be with Christ or we are going to be against him. There's no other way. And he has brought me here to remind, I know you know, but he has brought me here this morning to remind you, to refresh your memory that he is coming, and he is, who says he will come, will come. He will come. He will not tarry. In Revelation 22, and I'll be closing soon. In Revelation 22, turn with me for a while. We spent a little while in Revelation. And that's what we have been studying this quarter, in the senior quarterly. And this is just to remind us how serious life is and how serious situations are. In Revelation 20, the last book of the Bible, Jesus has left with us some stern warnings of why we should put on his armor, why we should awake out of our sleep, why we should lift up our voices like trumpet, why we should be very vigilant in the last days. Let's go to Revelation 7, 22 and verse 7. 22 and verse 7. That's right. Thank you. And I will read as you follow and digest. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Jesus said this himself. The Bible I have is in red letters, denoting that it came directly from Jesus' mouth. So Jesus, he did not leave it to any of his prophets to tell us these words. He did not leave it to any of his disciples to convey these words. And he did not leave it to any of his apostles. Just like his Father God did not leave it to Moses to write the Ten Commandments, he wrote it, Ten Commandments himself. In this way, there should be no misunderstanding. In other words, there is not a third person in these stern warning. He wrote it himself. So Jesus says in Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. How did he say he will be coming quickly? And what quickly means? Urgently. And if it is coming from Jesus, it's a certainty. So don't let anybody tell you that. Look how long Paul said those words, that to be awoken from your sleep. And he hasn't come. And he went on to say, each day that passes by, we are closer to his return. And the prophetic timeline that we have is already gone, completed. The 1,260 was the last period of the 23,000 days. That's completed. So we are really in the toenail of prophetic time. We are only leaning on the mercy and the grace of God at this time. So, my friends, keep that in mind. Then, in the same chapter, let's go to verse 12. This is serious business, my friends. He says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Not according to Brother Bill's work, but according to my work, right? Each of us work. I read that again for emphasis. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. What's that reward?
Heaven.
Hmm? Heaven. Eternal life. Put it that. That's the reward. That's why each of us here. Eternal life. Right. And verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There's no other. So, he has brought me here this morning to remind us of that. Has it ever occurred to you why Jesus is going to the extreme to remind us of who he is? Do you see him here lovingly reaching out to us with this solemn warning? Why? He loves you and he wants you to be with him. He knows that it's journey, your life's journey is not easy. He knows that. But he promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That there's a scriptural statement, I hope I get it right, that he who began a good work in you will see it come to successful completion. You are here today because you heard about Jesus or you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and you trust in him and you want to be saved. You want to have eternal life. And today he's brought me here to remind you that he's coming quickly. The question is, what are you going to do about it? And what am I going to do about it? Because it's each of us personal account that will matter. I cannot save my daughter's life, and she cannot save mine. I cannot save my wife's life, and she cannot save mine. It is you. It is your choice. And there's no middle ground, my friend. There is no gray area. You're either for him or you're against him. I'm closing now. I'm closing. Then, it's as if my good heavenly Father was not satisfied. The burden of us life was burdening him down. And he could not say it just for two times. But he came back and he said the third time. If you look with me in verse 20. He was not satisfied. He wants everyone to hear and everyone to respond. Verse 20 says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. Three times in one chapter, the end of the Holy Scriptures. So if anyone tells you that Jesus is not coming, if he was coming, he would have come long ago. Don't believe. And if anyone tells you that he's not coming, don't believe. Because he says here, he did not trust his disciples to say it to us. Not that he did not trust them, he trusted them, but he wanted to say it to us directly. Just like how he wanted to give Moses the Ten Commandments, that there would be no question about it. And in Revelation, the last book that he exposed to John, he told him right. And in the third time, for the third time in verse 20, he says, he who testify of these things, these sayings, the one, the things that he has been saying, he testified that he is the one who's saying it. Surely I come quickly. My friends, it behooves you and I to decide now. And now is the time that Paul refers to. It's about time to awake out of our slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So if you want to see Jesus, not in a glass darkened, But face to face, we need to make that decision. And not only for today, but to be connected to Him and to stay connected. Because that's the only way you and I will make it. But I close with a reminder. Although it's going to be rough and tough, He promises that He will be with you in the last days. You will not be alone. And our closing hymn tells us, the hymn writer says that, if I will go to it, he says, 600, that will be our closing hymn, if Sharon hasn't changed it. You didn't change it, no? Okay, that's our closing hymn. It says, sweet promise is given to all who believe, behold, I come quickly. Mine own to receive, hold fast till I come. That danger is great, sleep not as do others, be watchful and wait. May God bless us as we continue on life's journey. It's not going to be easy, but keep deep down within your heart that you are not alone. He who say He will protect you and guide you is able, and we trust in Him. Thank you. You bow your heads with me. Oh, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that we are not able to hold fast without You holding us up. So this morning or this afternoon, Lord, we ask that Your divine Spirit, who You have left with us as Your comforter, will lead us, guide us, and direct us in all truth. Help us to turn our eyes fully upon You. And everything's in this life around us, Lord, we pray will go strangely dim in Your power and in Your grace. Thank You for Your love and for Your mercy. We pray, O Lord, that You lead us gently now through the upcoming week. In Your precious and worthy name we ask. Amen.